The Wall Street Journal podcast are brought to you by American Express. No matter what you do, from business and finance to a podcast about business and finance, it's easier when you don't go it alone. The powerful backing of American Express. Don't do business without it.
With your money briefing, I'm J.R. Whalen at the Wall Street Journal in New York. Berkshire Hathaway CEO Warren Buffett was asked by several companies for financial lifelines at the start of the 2008 economic crisis, most notably by Lehman Brothers. Why did Buffett say no to Lehman? He reveals why in a new Wall Street Journal interview. We'll have details in a moment. First, these money and market stories you should know. The Wall Street Journal Heard on the Street team says the August employment report represents a significant economic flashpoint. Employers simply won't be able to hire and retain workers without paying them more. August saw an unexpected 0.4% jump in average hourly earnings that pushed wages up 2.9% from a year earlier. Heard on the Street says this may only be the beginning of a significant increase in wages that could simultaneously weigh on corporate profit margins and lead the Federal Reserve to raise rates by more than investors had expected. And a new report from the Government Accounting Office concludes that Equifax left information vulnerable that led to hackers getting access to sensitive personal information of millions of Americans. A year after Equifax's public disclosure of the 2017 data breach, the GAO report says that Equifax determined that several major factors had facilitated the attacker's ability to successfully gain access to its network and extract information from databases containing personal information, and that key factors that led to the breach were in the areas of identification, detection, segmentation, and data governance. The report also included an alarming note that there were not enough restrictions in place at Equifax, which allowed the attackers to execute approximately 9,000 queries without detection by Equifax or its internal or external auditors.
Whether you're an entrepreneur growing your own business, a star contributor turned manager, a senior executive tapped to lead a global business unit, or a seasoned executive preparing for the C-suite, Harvard Business School Executive Education can help you rise to the challenge. Their four comprehensive leadership programs accelerate career growth and transform talented executives into confident business leaders. To learn more, visit hbs.me/transform. That's hbs.me/transform.
Wall Street Journal reporter Nicole Friedman recently sat down with Berkshire Hathaway CEO Warren Buffett, and the conversation centered on Buffett's role in the 2008 economic downturn. You can see the video on WSJ.com and the WSJ app. So, Nicole, the start of the downturn was highlighted by the failures of both Lehman Brothers and AIG. Both companies went to Buffett seeking financial help, but he declined.
A company like Lehman or any major financial institution depends on people being willing to do business with them tomorrow and lend them money tomorrow and take their word the next day. And nobody has to do business with Lehman or any other institution. Once they lose confidence, it's all over.
But he also discussed a domino effect in the business world.
Yes, Warren Buffett said that one of the big lessons that we all learned during 2008, during the financial crisis, was that all of the companies in the United States were like dominoes and that we hadn't realized how closely lined up each domino was, so that when one big company falls or even teeters on the edge, suddenly so many other companies are vulnerable to struggling themselves. And he said that was something that really became clear about how the U.S. economy was built during the 2008 crisis.
And during the crisis, Buffett did throw a lifeline to several companies.
Yes. So Berkshire Hathaway, the company that Warren Buffett runs, is famous for having a lot of cash, particularly at times when other companies do not have a lot of cash. And Mr. Buffett did use that cash to bail out and rescue and help some companies that were struggling, including Goldman Sachs and General Electric, Swiss Re. There were a couple other companies on the list that got help even in 2011, so a couple of years after the crisis. Bank of America got a lifeline from Berkshire. And Berkshire did do very well on those investments. Ultimately, it made quite a good return.
And it's really no accident that these companies do go to him and Berkshire Hathaway for some financial help or even some heart-to-heart financial inspiration. He has one of the more famous strategies, more famous morals.
Yeah, Warren Buffett is famous for making things in finance and in investing sound very simple. And one of the things he likes to say is be greedy when others are fearful and fearful when others are greedy, which is a basic investing rule, basically, you know, buy low, sell high. But it sounds a lot simpler and kind of more meaningful, I think, when he puts it in the context of fear and greed.
Well, it's gotten him this far. So at the top of the financial world.
And definitely during the financial crisis, I think a lot of ordinary investors also were turning to Warren Buffett to see what he had to say. He famously wrote an opinion piece in the New York Times in 2008 saying, "Buy American," that it was still a good idea to invest in the stock market, to invest in the U.S. economy, that he was still optimistic despite everything that was going on, that the economy would recover. And that is something that a lot of people listened to at the time, was why Warren Buffett was still optimistic.
He just turned 88 years old. What's he like in person?
He's very sharp. He has a very good memory, particularly for numbers and financial information. And even talking 10 years later about the crisis, he has a very good recall for the events of those couple of dynamic weeks and where he was, what he was doing. So it's fascinating to hear his memories even a decade later.
Now, you cover Warren Buffett for the Wall Street Journal. And it seems like he is just followed around like he's a rock star by fans and civilians and shareholders alike.
Certainly, there are a lot of Warren Buffett fans. And every year, his company, Berkshire Hathaway, has an annual meeting in May in Omaha that is like a huge convention for everybody who loves Warren Buffett, wants to hear what he has to say. So tens of thousands of people from all over the world come to Omaha to listen to Warren Buffett and his partner, Charlie Munger, just answer questions for hours from anyone who wants to ask a question.
So definitely check out Nicole's story on WSJ.com and the WSJ app and see the video of her interview with Warren Buffett in the story as well. Nicole, while I have you, anything new on succession plans with Buffett? It didn't come up in your interview with him, but that is a big issue that hangs over folks that observe Berkshire Hathaway.
Yes, it's a huge question of who will run Berkshire after Warren Buffett is gone. And at a time like this, when we're remembering the financial crisis, I think it is a question of who will play that kind of role of being, in some ways, an elder statesman among U.S. investors who can kind of speak with authority about the economy in a way that many people want to listen to. And will the next head of Berkshire Hathaway have that sort of audience? It's unknown. But in terms of the CEO succession, there are two internal candidates, Greg Abel and Ajit Jain, and they were both promoted in January to vice chairman of the company. And so one of them will take over as CEO, but it is unknown to the outside world which one of the men it will be.
All right. That is Wall Street Journal reporter Nicole Friedman joining us here in our studio. Nicole, thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
And check out Nicole's interview with Warren Buffett, the story and the video on WSJ.com. And that's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen in New York for the Wall Street Journal.